Hello and welcome to the recording for the Children in the Way for today, Sunday the 23rd of May. I hope you're all well and that things are going well for you and that you are enjoying having more freedom away from restrictions for COVID and stuff like that. But also just remember to carry on being careful. COVID hasn't miraculously gone away, unfortunately. We still have to be cautious and we still have to be careful. So I hope that you are continuing to wash your hands, wear masks when you need to. But also, you know, as I say, enjoy that things are getting better. So there we are. Okay, one more week and then we will have a school holiday, which is really great. So today, thinking of countries again, I'm thinking of a country. You might have watched the Eurovision last night, and this might help you a little bit, maybe. Okay, this country, for 5 points, has got 790 islands associated with it. For 4 points, it is the home of the tallest waterfall called Yosas Chual Alumin, which is 3 times the height of Niagara Falls. That's pretty, pretty high. For 3 points, the official animal for this country is the unicorn. I always think that's really funny. And for 2 points, this country has the Atlantic Ocean to its north and west, the North Sea to the northeast, and the Irish Sea to the south of it. Does that help at all? Okay, and the last clue is that this country's capital is Edinburgh. Did that help? Have you got that I was thinking about Scotland? I hope so. Other interesting facts about Scotland is that it is home to the oldest tree in Europe, which is the twisted yew, and it's around 3,000 years old. Is really good. Edinburgh is also the first city in the world to have owned its own fire brigade, which is amazing. I think it's really great. Scotland was used to be called the United Kingdom of Scotland until 1707. And I think that's all the interesting facts I have. Right, okay, so today we're going to look at Miracle 8 in our list, and it's the one where Jesus raised the widow's son from the dead. It's Mark chapter 7, and we're reading from verse 11. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet had appeared amongst us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Right, some really interesting things about this, I think. Of course, just talking about the widow, to be a widow, your husband needed to have died. And that's how you get the title of widow. And a man whose wife has died is called a widower. And we hear that this was the only son of this woman. So in that time, a woman living on her own was usually very unsafe. She would either need the protection of her family or to be married. And if she was married, then her husband would be the one who would be bringing in any money into the family. So he'll be the breadwinner. And if she didn't have that, then widows were considered to be quite poor people and relied either on the charity of the church or their neighbors, or their family would have to step in to help. And this woman only had one son, who the Bible says is a young man, so I would expect him to be like 15 or older. And maybe he would have been the one who, now that his dad had passed away, was having to bring money into the house. But now he was dead. So this woman was very, very unfortunate. Bad things keep seem to happen to her. And so she wouldn't have had anyone else. So she would have been at the mercy of the church, the community, or her relatives. So, and the Bible tells us that Jesus felt sorry for her. And it was obviously he wasn't the only person who felt sorry for her, because she had a large crowd from the town mourning with her to go and bury her son. And then Jesus says something. And I mean, this tells us that Jesus' heart does go out to people. And we should be the same. We should let our hearts go out to people. We should feel sorry for people that have bad things happening to them. We should try to help where we can. And one of the ways I sort of try to help a little bit is if I see an emergency vehicle, like a fire brigade or a fire engine or an ambulance or a police car with their sirens on going off to an emergency, I send a prayer out to them to sort of ask for God for help in whatever the situation is. Even if I don't know what the situation is, I try to do that, to let my heart go out. If I hear that there is any problems in places, if I read the newspaper, then I try to pray about those things, because we should be sensitive to the things going on around us in the news or in different places. So Jesus's heart goes out to this woman, and he says to her something quite strange, really. He says to her, "Don't cry." Now, this is definitely the time for her to be crying, because not only did she lose her husband whenever he died, but now her only son had also died. So this would definitely be the time to cry. And sometimes Jesus does that. He asks us in our heart not to do what seems to be conventional, what seems to be the normal thing to do. And he asks us to do something different, because he is going to do something. And when he does that, we need to trust him. We need to believe that he is going to do something to help us out. And he does. He commands the son to sit up. And the son begins to talk, which I think is quite important in that. When Jesus has done this really, really unusual thing to make the son sit up, some people might have thought that's just reflex action. That's just, you know, his body may be responding to some of the spices or the things. Because it would have been a few days after the boy died that they would have been putting oils on his body, maybe even embalming him and all this sort of stuff to preserve his body. So him sitting up would have been very, very strange. But then he starts talking, and that proves that all his body cells are working in the right way, and his mind is working as well. So I think that's quite important. And this is one of the signs that the Bible tells us that Jesus was using to show his divinity, to show that he is the Son of God. He is the chosen Messiah that God had been promising all through the Old Testament to redeem us from our sins. Because if we look at the book of Luke, chapter 7, verse 20, John's apostles come to Jesus, and they say to him, John has asked us to ask you, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And in that time, Jesus had healed people of many diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and some that were blind, he had restored their sight. And he answers the disciples and he says, go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. The poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. And then when John hears this, it gives him that assurance that Jesus is the promised Messiah. And what Jesus is saying here, he is taking part of what is said in Isaiah 42, verse 6 and 7, when God is talking about the Messiah that is to come. And he says, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you, and I will give you as a covenant for the people. This is a light for the nations. This is Jesus he's going to give to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeons, from the prison, those who sat in darkness. And so Jesus is quoting Isaiah 42 to say, I am fulfilling all of the promises of the Old Testament. Can you not see that these things that the Old Testament have said are going to happen? They are happening now. And as children of God, we have to be able to see these signs. We have to be able to reference back and forth the Old Testament and the New Testament to prove to ourselves what is true. Because a time of testing is coming. Before the second coming of Jesus, there'll be a time of great test. And we should be able to know our Bible enough to recognize what God is doing in this time, and not to be frightened or scared of the things that are happening, but to know that God is still in control and he is just doing what he said he would do in the new in the time to come. So we've got to know our Bible. So it's very, very important. But one of the things I do like about this miracle is that when people saw all of these amazing things, they recognized that this was God who was in, you know, who deserved the praise and the glory. And that's who they praised. They didn't praise Jesus or give him any acclaim. And of course, I mean, they talked about it because it was something amazing that had happened. But they gave God all the praise. And that's what we need to do when we see miracles and different things happening in our lives. We need to go back and give God the praise and appreciate him for what he's doing in our life. So the biggest take-home message I would say is that when Jesus asks you not to cry or not to moan or not to to be sad about situations, it's because he's going to do something about it, something to help you out of that. So you should trust him and you should believe in him, and you should hold on to what he, hold on in faith, knowing that he will look after you and he will do what he said he would do. So I hope you enjoyed looking at that miracle. God bless you, and I'll see you soon. Take care. Bye.